Hi, friends. I'm Tim Villegas from the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education, and you are listening to Think Inclusive, our podcast that brings you conversations about inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. Arthur Aston is a resident of New Jersey. He was born with a birth defect called spina bifida in 1981. This diagnosis has impacted his mobility and requires Arthur to use leg braces and crutches. He also uses a wheelchair at times. Being a lifelong self-advocate, in his adult years, Arthur began advocating for others and developed a passion and mission for changing the way society as a whole sees those who have disabilities. Arthur is a content producer for the New Jersey Coalition for Inclusive Education, where he is the host of the Inclusion Think Tank podcast. For the last 10 years, he has also worked as executive director of Build Jake's Place, a nonprofit that creates inclusive playgrounds and manages the Camden County, New Jersey Miracle League, an inclusive baseball league for children and adults who have disabilities. In this episode, Arthur shares his personal journey of living with spina bifida and how it led him to become an advocate for inclusive education. He discusses the importance of inclusive education and the need for students with and without disabilities to learn together. Arthur also highlights the work of NJCIE in providing professional development and consulting services to promote inclusive education in schools. This week's episode is brought to you by MCIE's Inclusion Stories, our five-part podcast series that tells the stories of families, educators, and school systems on their journey to full and authentic inclusive education for each and every learner. All five parts of Inclusion Stories will be available on Friday, December 22nd, 2023. Follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast player. After a short break, my interview with Arthur Aston. And for free time this week, we are going to Arkansas to learn about the All In initiative.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Arthur Aston, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited. We haven't really had a chance to talk. And it's, you know, you work for an organization, the New Jersey Coalition for Inclusive Education. And, you know, our work is very similar, although I don't know a ton about what you do. So I'm excited to learn that. And I'm excited to learn about you and, you know, what you bring to the role as a podcaster.
Yes. I'm excited to share a little bit about my story and, you know, and have this great conversation.
Yeah. So let's just start off at the, you know, well, wherever you want to start off, I guess. Why don't we start with what brought you to the work at NJCIE?
So that begins a long time ago, although I didn't know it at the time. I was born with spina bifida. So I had a hole in my back when I was born. It has impacted my mobility. So I walk with leg braces and crutches for short distances. I also use a wheelchair for longer distances. And also, you know, for instance, I was at a golf tournament yesterday, so it's more comfortable for me to sit in my wheelchair versus, you know, a regular chair. So I will use my wheelchair for those types of things. And then 2010, I was a full grown adult at that time, but I ended up having a conversation with my then 9-year-old nephew, where I found out that he was quite hurt and offended that his classmates, when I picked him up from school, his classmates were staring at me and kind of laughing and that kind of thing. So then I was like, well, it doesn't bother me, you know, not saying it shouldn't bother you, but just go back and tell them who I am. Tell them, you know, what I do, who I am, and that we do a whole bunch of things. We travel and all of that. So I, and in that moment, I had like an aha moment, as they say, where I wanted to start doing something to help change the way that people see those who have disabilities. So I started speaking in schools and just sharing my story with the students and helping them realize that it's okay to be different and, you know, to ask questions and to learn about those who are different than you, whether it's a disability or some other difference that someone may have. And then that work led me into another nonprofit where called Build Jake's Place, where we build inclusive playgrounds. So I've been working with them for a little over 10 years now. And then in the summer of 2021, I became an employee with NJCIE. And it's so interesting how my life just, you know, led to all of these different great experiences where I get to work with others who have disabilities, people who are like myself. And again, just working on my original goal and my original passion of changing the tone of conversation around disabilities. So being connected with NJCIE has been, you know, a really great experience for me so far in just the 2 years that I've been there, just about and hosting the podcast for them. And, you know, I'm learning a lot myself about inclusive education and, you know, it's just a really great experience that I've been having so far and looking forward to what is to come.
So what was your experience like in school? Because you said you were born with spina bifida. So was your school experience, you know, different, difficult, just fine, or?
I was always in the general education setting. I was never in a separate classroom from my peers. And it helped for me. I can say, looking back now at, as a 40, almost 42-year-old, I can say now that going to a very small elementary school helped out a lot. It allowed us to have those conversations with, you know, with my classmates. And I grew up in the 80s and they had a puppet show, actually, that was called New Kids on the Block. Yes, after that great boy band of the 80s, where they brought the puppet show. I remember this. They brought the puppet show to my school to explain disabilities. And so that started a great conversation because it brought it down to, you know, our level as elementary school kids. I was in kindergarten or first grade when they brought this in. And, you know, again, it just opened up that conversation and allowed me to, you know, meet some great people and have conversations with them. And again, at almost 42 years old, I still have some of those same friends. So growing up in a small setting helped in that aspect. And then growing up in middle school, there was a concern with, because I used the crutches, there was a concern going to a public school that had, you know, over 1,000 kids. So my parents did send me to a private school for seventh and eighth grade. But I have an older sister who went to the public school in our neighborhood, and I was like, wait, I want to go there.
Yeah.
So that's when I actually got my first wheelchair, because they said it would be safer for me and not, you know, not to get bumped around by all the students. Not saying they would do it on purpose, but, you know, things happen. There's a tile floor, something could be wet, or a paper or pen could be on the floor, and I would easily fall. So, ninth grade, I started at the public high school there, and you know, again, met new friends and still friends with those people today. So I had a really good education, you know, experience, I would say. And of course, it didn't come without its challenges and just my own challenges. I still can't, I still can't figure out if it's because of my disability, or I just don't like math. You know, could be one or the other, a little bit of both. So, you know, math is just something that was difficult for me. And there were some studies done about, you know, being able to do those types of tasks and having a disability like spina bifida and how it could be impacted, you know, on things like math and cognitive function and things like that. But again, it's just something that I just didn't understand. It was never an excuse that I used, like, oh, I can't do it because I have spina bifida. Right. Although I might have tried, but it just wasn't just wasn't flying with my parents or the teachers. But you know, so like, I guess with every student, you know, having different challenges or different subjects that they don't care for, or some they like more than others. I had a really good experience education wise, and the teachers I remember, you know, I can remember certain teachers that were really helpful and wanted me to succeed like everybody else, and really worked with me through different challenges that I may have had.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and don't underestimate the power of puppetry, I guess. Right.
Yes. Yes. Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah. So it's kind of a joke around in my family that, you know, I'm in my mid-40s and I grew up with the Muppets, you know, and mm-hmm. Sesame Street, and like, you know, that was my jam. And so, you know, when it came back around, you know, and so like some of the newer Muppet movies, I'm like, oh, my kids are going to love this. They're just going to love puppets. And they're like, no, Dad, no, we do not love puppets. I'm like, come on, you know? Right. And so, I don't know, maybe it's a generational thing, but, you know, when you said puppet show, I'm like, man, I want a puppet show.
Right. Yeah. It's so interesting how, you know, and speaking of things like the Muppets and Sesame Street and all of that, like now you see and you hear that they have different Muppets, different characters now that have certain disabilities. So it's like, wow, that's really cool. I have friends that'll text me or email me and show me pictures like, oh, my daughter is obsessed with this character that, you know, that's in a wheelchair and, you know, says it reminds her of you. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's great. Yeah, so it's great to see the whole evolution of it. And my whole thing is, it's like going to the different places where you see these characters, I'm like, they're kind of scary. Like, let's be real about that. Like, they're a little scary sometimes to be in full, you know, full size and all of that. But really funny.
So why is inclusive education specifically, you know, learners with and without disabilities learning together? And, you know, I know there's a whole... There's a lot more to it than that, but why is that important to you?
I think it's very important because I always say, like, I have a disability, and it's like, I live in your neighborhood. I shop in your stores. I, you know, go to the same malls as you. And, you know, we all have to interact and get along with each other. And I think that, starting in a school setting where we're first, I guess that's like one of the first places we're taught how to, you know, interact with each other and learn from each other, because it's, you know, the sharing thing that we're, you know, we're first taught when we, you know, you have to share. And but we can all learn from each other, I think. And it's a little bit different, but I was having a conversation with people yesterday about accessibility. And I said, you know, accessibility is helpful to everybody. Everybody can use a ramp, where not everybody can use a set of stairs because of their disability necessarily. You know, everybody can use a ramp, whether you have a disability or not. So I think inclusivity as a whole is beneficial and helpful to everybody. And again, it gives us a chance to learn from each other. And it also, in my experience of sharing my story with students, typically I would do presentations in classroom settings. So there's 25, maybe 30 students. They were so open with sharing their own stories of saying like, oh, I have autism. And, you know, all the other students in the classroom are like, what? Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You know, so we're sharing our experiences with each other and just learning from each other, I think, is the biggest takeaway that I can see from, you know, having inclusive education, inclusive settings in the schools.
Yeah, I think you make a great point about being vulnerable in telling your story, and then that allows other people to also be vulnerable and mm-hmm. you know, and say who they are. Because a lot of times we'll you know, even with our coworkers, we go and we do something, and it isn't until someone opens up and says something personal that it starts the ball rolling, right?
Right. Yeah, it does. It really, it kind of like gives you that like silent permission to like say like, oh, okay, it's okay. and then it brings it back to, I think we are more alike than we are different. And it's, you know, I think that helps with having everybody in the same setting and things like that. I think it really helps, you know, bring that point out that we have more things in common than we do differences.
So in your organization, NJCIE, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your work, your mission as an organization, and the services that you offer?
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, I'm fairly new to the organization, just under 2 years. I started in July of 2021, which is so hard to believe that was so long ago already.
I know, right?
It's like, wow, that went by really fast. But a little bit about NJCIE. We were formally incorporated as a nonprofit back in 1995. So we've been around for quite some time. And the one thing that really, the few things I should say that drew me to the organization is that we really believe that, you know, having inclusive education setting is a fundamental right for every student. Mm-hmm. And I think that really touched me because, again, we people with disabilities, in my experience, I would say, are sometimes like forgotten about in certain areas. So to connect with an organization that believes that like all students should be welcomed in the classroom and valued as leaders and learners is, you know, really, really great thing that really drew me to the organization and wanted me, inspired me, I should say, to find out more about this you know, about the organization. And as far as our services, we offer professional development opportunities for schools and teachers and leaders within the school, and also consultant and coaching services. And just in my few years of working with NJCIE, I love that we have a winter and a summer conference. So that's really great to see so many people that come together from our state and, you know, I'm sure outside of the state as well, to join and just to learn together and learn, again, learning from each other, I think is a really big thing that that I love about that, you know, that we have those conferences. One is coming up in June that I'm looking forward to attending again and just being around so many people that find inclusive education to be important and necessary, and to make these changes happen is really cool.
Have you seen since coming on in, you know, being like in the work day to day, have you seen an increase in educators really like wanting to find out more about inclusive education?
Yes. Even just, you know, I won't say just, with hosting the podcast, you know, getting the different feedback, and just in my own personal life, I have a lot of friends who, you know, who've listened to the podcast, and they're teachers, and they really are so interested in it. And just hearing the feedback from, you know, like, oh, I like that question. And like, you really, you know, you really got into that one question with the one guest. And just hearing that, and then listening to like your podcast and other podcasts. I know we've connected through a group that we put together of some other podcasters, and, you know, just learning from everybody. And I think it is really making a difference. And in the world of podcasting, I think it makes it so easy because people can listen to it wherever, and having it at your, you know, your fingertips and literally on your phone, you can listen to it on your way to work or from work, while you're cleaning the house, or just, you know, hanging out, sitting around doing nothing, sitting on your porch on a nice spring day. It really does open up that door for more access to learn about inclusive education, to have things like podcasts and, you know, YouTube videos and channels and things like that. So I've really seen and heard great feedback from, you know, different people that have found my podcast and with NJCIE, and just, you know, really appreciate it and the work that is being done in this world of inclusive education.
Yeah, and let's make sure to say the name of it. So it's called the Think Tank. Wait,
it's the Inclusion Think Tank. Think Tank podcast, yes.
Yes, Inclusion Think Tank podcast by NJCIE. You can listen to wherever you listen to podcasts, I'm assuming, because yes. I've basically found it whenever I've tried to find it, so it's there.
Yes, yeah, we're all over the place. We wherever you listen to your podcast, we are there.
That's right. Are there some certain either things that you've learned from hosting the podcast, like just as far as information, or any particular guests that stand out that you're like, oh man, that was amazing. That was something I really learned a lot about.
I can say one of the things that it goes back to what I was just saying, really in an opposite direction, though, of having something at your fingertips and things happening fast. The one thing I've learned that inclusive education takes time. We want everything to happen fast. And that's just not so the case.
Oh, gosh.
I think that's the biggest thing, and one of the most frequent things that I hear from my guests. You know, it takes time. You will see, you will see little steps, or what you might perceive as being little steps, but you're moving in the right direction. Keep at it. Don't give up just because you don't see the big success right away, you know, within the first couple of months or the first year that you're working toward. Having an inclusive school, it takes time. So just stay with it. Don't get tired of the work that you're doing, because it is making a difference. And I'm not sure when this episode will air, but I am working on an episode now where my guest says to find success in the little successes. So, you know, again, just to keep going. And I told her, I said, that's not just good advice for the inclusive education world. That's like good life advice.
Oh, so true.
just to find the success in the little things and celebrate those things, because it is happening. But I think that's one of the most frequent things that my guests say, that it takes time. You have to stick with it and believe in what you're doing, that it is making a change.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I mean, I'm with you, Arthur, because you talk about like getting feedback, and there's so many more podcasts about inclusive education. Like when I started in 2012, there were a few people putting out, you know, some episodes. I remember The Inclusive Classroom. I don't know if you ever listened to The Inclusive Classroom, Nicole Erdix. I know that I think Nicole did some speaking for NJCIE, right?
Yes, she was a guest on my podcast as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So Nicole's been, you know, at this a long time. And and there's so many more resources, whether they're books or podcast episodes. People speaking, even more organizations providing consultation around inclusion and you know, co-teaching and systems change. There's just so much more out there than there was. And so that to me, it seems like, well, there must be more demand for that sort of information. So the more we can get the word out there, you know, so if you're listening and you want to start a podcast, you know, do it. If you want to go out there and write a book, go do it, you know?
Yes. Yes. There is, you know, it's, and I think I've heard conversations about since, especially since 2020, the podcasting world has kind of been bombarded with new podcasts and things, but it's like there's room for all of us. And
that's right.
And we're all bringing our own different perspectives. And just in the interviews that I've done, for the NJCIE podcast, I'm able to share parts of my story. You know, with the guests, they're telling certain things, and it you know, reminds me of something that happened in my life. And it's just like, oh, wow. You know, so I'm having like a trip down memory lane, and I get to share little pieces of my world and what it was like for me being in a classroom and having a physical disability. And so it's, you know, there's room for all of us to share our stories and to, again, like you said, write that book, start that podcast, just do it. It's all helping, and it's all helping to move us forward in the right direction.
So thinking about educators, because I know that there's a lot of educators that listen to the Inclusion Think Tank and this podcast, what are some tips that you've gleaned from either, you know, your work at NJCIE or just the guests that you've had for people who want to move inclusive education forward in their school or district, but, you know, maybe just don't know where to start?
I think it's, again, I think it's just like we were just, what, like what we just said, to start, you know, to just do something, you know, to get that ball rolling and to, you know, again, just, it can be something very small. It doesn't have to be a great big, you know, great big project that makes everybody, you know, shocked and say like, oh, wow. The important part, I think, is to start doing something and realizing that and believing that what you will do will, you know, cause a change and cause other people to get on board. I think that's a really, really big thing that it scares a lot of people, I think, makes people nervous. But, you know, we all have to start somewhere. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really big thing.
I know that when, so I don't know how much you know about my story, but so I started in teaching in segregated self-contained classrooms. So, you know, I taught in classrooms for 13 years and then 3 years as a support specialist for a district in Georgia. And when I first started teaching, I had an idea of what inclusion was, and that there was a movement outside of just your regular typical school district mm-hmm. to make schools and districts more inclusive. So learners, you know, so like a systematic effort for learners to be, you know, moved into general education classrooms from segregated spaces. But I never, like, I wasn't able to teach in those spaces because the schools that I worked at, you know, historically had segregated students. So, you know, if I worked at elementary school and there were self-contained or I worked in California at the time, so they're called special day classes, you know, which they still have, you know, I wanted to be inclusive, you know, but mm-hmm. I wasn't like, I can't change the culture of the school. I felt kind of powerless, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if you ever run across educators who maybe are even like, don't know what to do because they work in this type of environment, right? Or feel ashamed that they do work in this kind of environment. Like, let's say you work in a special school, you know, because they're mm-hmm. still out there, you mm-hmm. know, in some states. You know, I remember having conversations early in the podcast, you know, with Think Inclusive, and semi joking to my guests, like, should I quit my job? You know, like, and so. I'm just wondering if that's something you ever run across and like in who you speak with and your organization, if that's something you have to deal with, like as far as like mindsets like that.
Yeah. Me personally, no, I have not, you know, run into that situation, but it is, you know, I'm sure it is something that has happened, for people. I know here in New Jersey, we do have a special services schools, you know, for those who have disabilities. But it's not something that I have, you know, run into with anyone that I've had interactions with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it you know, I'm sure it has to be a tough, you know, a tough decision to make. Like you said, you know, you're kind of joking about it. Like, do you leave this job? And, you know, but it's like, you know, I want to make a change, but it's, you know, it's hard. It can be difficult to do, I'm sure.
Yeah. 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 But I think what you said before about it just starting, right? Even mm-hmm. if it's small, to consistently and constantly be working towards a system. And for me, I know it was more of like, you know, what's my long-term exit strategy, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what ended up, allowing me to leave in 2020 to join, the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education, because, you know, I had done all of this side work mm-hmm. through the blog and the podcast, and that actually allowed me to, you know, move away and go into communication. So, wow. That's how I did it. It's certainly not for everyone.
Right. But, right.
So tell me, you said you're working on some podcast episodes. Do you have, like, how do you structure your show? Is it, do you have certain themes that you go, or are you mostly like find educators in New Jersey that are doing this work, or like help me understand your process?
Yeah. So, this is, we're getting toward the end of what we're calling the second season. So the first season was, the guest list was heavy on our inclusion facilitators at NJCIE and the work that they do to share their stories and how they came from, a lot of them came from being teachers and getting into this work. And then this second season, we focused on school leadership, those in school leadership positions, and how they can, you know, help bringing the inclusive education conversation to their schools and working with, again, I mentioned our spring and summer conferences, or our winter and summer conferences that we have at NJCIE, and having some of those previous and future presenters on the podcast to talk about leadership and how we can, you know, how we can all be a leader in our school to, you know, to help continue that bringing inclusive education to our schools. And, you know, once we're wrapping up this season, we'll figure out what our new topics will be for the fall, which is when we'll probably start, you know, the next season of the podcast and what direction that will go in. And it's really, again, I think having, for me, like listening to all of the guests that I have the conversations with, everybody brings something different to the conversation, you know, so it's great to have, you know, a podcast that's strictly focused on inclusive education, because I think the topics are, you know, they're like endless. You can really come up with different topics, or you can ask the same person the same question and they have a totally different answer because of their experiences that they bring, which is, it's so interesting to me. I love that part of it, because it's, you know, again, I can ask the same four people the same question, and they come up with four different answers. And it's just like, yes, they're all great and they're all correct answers. Like, that's really cool.
Do you have do you have like a go-to question?
I start off with, a lot of times, not every episode, but a lot of episodes, like, what does inclusive education mean to you? What does that look like? And that's a great question to ask, because it really, again, it brings their own personal perspective and their own life experiences to that answer. So it's not anything that, it's not a book answer that you can learn from reading a book. It's just like, what is it to you? What does it look like to you? It's a personal question. And just having the different guests answer it, it's always fun. And I also like to ask, I'm interested in people's stories. That's just a personal thing of me, of my own. And how did, as you just shared your story and your journey of getting to where you are in your career and the work that you're doing now, I love hearing how people, how they started and when did they first learn about inclusive education. And I had a guest on that talked about volunteering at a summer camp for people with disabilities. You know, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of my own story. It's like, I've had a disability my whole life, so it's always been there, but it took the conversation with my nephew to really say, like, oh, you know, right. I've had people stare at me my whole life. I just, you know, I don't, it doesn't bother me. But the fact that it bothered my nephew bothered me. I was like, wait.
That's interesting. Is you really took that personally.
Yes.
You know, whereas you didn't take it personally when they were just staring at you without the additional person.
Yes. Yeah. Because I grew up that way my whole life. And my parents would say, oh, people will stare. It's just, you know, you're different. You look different. You know, it's nothing, there's nothing wrong. And so I'm like, okay, cool. But here I am, you know, almost 30 years old at the time. And my nephew says it irritated him and he got upset about it. I'm like, oh, we have to fix this. Something needs to be done, you know? And it was like, first of all, it was like, okay, number one, calm down about it. Like, it's not a big deal. go in and tell them who I am, tell them that I drive, tell them that we take trips together. You know, he knows my, you know, my story. Tell him, tell him about me. He's like, yeah. Oh, okay. Like, there's nothing to be upset about. It happens. I'm okay. And I think he was more upset that I would be upset. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, it happens. And I didn't even notice it. That was the crazy thing. I'm like, who was staring at me? He was like, the kids at the school. Like, oh, okay. But, yeah, it's really interesting. So like I said, I love hearing people's journeys and their stories of how they got to where they are, and the connection they have to disabilities and or not, and just how they became so passionate about inclusive education. I think is one of my favorite things about favorite questions to ask for the guests on the podcast.
Do you think that there is still voices that are missing from the conversation? I think about this, when we're deciding who, what kind of guests are on Think Inclusive, or just in general, as we're approaching a school district on developing a shared understanding of inclusive education, the voices that may potentially be missing. So in your view, who are the voices that we're not hearing enough of?
I don't know if they're necessarily missing. But I would like to hear more from those who have disabilities. To be included in the conversation. And I know that can be difficult when you're working with children, especially. But I would love to hear, the perspective of the students that are involved in these schools that are, working toward an inclusive setting or not, and just hear their experiences and what they, what they are dealing with and what might frustrate them about this whole the whole process of it all, or even those who may be older that have had to work through a non-inclusive setting in their school experience, and just to hear the real life stories of those who had to go through this experience. Going back again to my conversations yesterday, I was talking with one of my friend's parents, and her dad said to me, oh, my daughter, she's really involved in the work and trying to make things better for those with disabilities. He said, and I understand what she does. And he said, but hearing your real life experiences of it, he said, that just took it to a whole new level. He said, wow. He said, he said, my daughter's been doing this work for a while. And I got what she was saying, but to hear that it actually happens to a real life person who I'm sitting next to talking to all day, he was like, wow. And I think sometimes that's what is needed, to really make people have that aha moment and say oh wow, this is real. It's not just something that people are making podcasts about, or creating YouTube channels about. This is a real thing that happens to real people that we all know. I don't know if I would say that the voices are missing, but to continue to include those who have the disabilities, because it's one thing to hear it from teachers or those in school leadership positions and even parents, but when possible, to hear from the actual student who this is impacting directly, I think is something really, really important that we can't overlook.
Anything else you want to share with educators as they, listen to this conversation?
I think I would just say, what I've said before, which is to to start somewhere and to, and if you have started, keep going, that it takes time. it takes time, patience, and dedication, and it will pay off in the end. It's a, you know, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, which is very frustrating, and especially, again, in today's time where everything is, you know, we need it to happen yesterday. it's not a fast thing. So I think that is... to stay encouraged through this whole thing is, you know, most important, is what I would share with others.
Stay tuned for the mystery question right after this break.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, this seems too perfect. So, did you have a favorite teacher or a teacher who made a big impact on your life?
Oh, wow.
Right? Look at that. It's not even education themed.
No, look at that. Oh, wow. Yes. So, I would say, well, she was the school nurse at my school. So, and I bring her up because she's still a very good friend of our family now. I actually call her my aunt. She was the first person that I met at the elementary school. It's Aunt Bonnie. And she, of course, when any parent sends a child to school for the first time, they are nervous about a lot of things. But at that time, you know, I was starting kindergarten, I guess it was. I was still going through surgeries and things because of my spina bifida. I didn't have control of my bowels or my bladder at that time. So my parents were really just like, do we want to do this? She really helped put all of us at ease and really looked out for me and, just really made me feel comfortable with my, you know, disability diagnosis and my whole situation. I was, you know, I was wearing Depends at the time, diapers at the time, because I didn't have control. She was very instrumental in, again, helping facilitate those conversations and the puppet show situation.
The puppet show.
Yes. To make everybody more comfortable with, you know, with me and being a new student at the school and all of that. And and ever since then, like, I've been on vacation with her up in Long Island. She had a house at the Jersey Shore. I would go for the weekend with her. Like, this was after I was out of the elementary school. And, you know, we spend like Christmas Eves together and things like that and just hanging out. So she really just helped, was a big part in me learning more about myself and being comfortable with myself of having a disability and being, you know, at that time being the only one in the school that had a visible disability, I'll say, mm-hmm. you know, that was a physical disability. So, I would say her.
Oh, well, shout out to school nurses and nurses yes. everywhere. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So my wife is a nurse, an RN. Yeah. So I know nurses are amazing.
Yes.
So this is hard, but the teacher that first came to mind when I read the question was It would have to be my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Winchester. I have always had a problem, not a problem. I've always struggled with self-esteem. And, you know, it's weird because, you know, most people think I'm an extrovert because I have a podcast. I'm definitely not an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I like my alone time. and so being around a lot of people, you know, is something that I do like sometimes, but not all the time. Uh-huh. And so Mrs. Winchester knew this about me, and she encouraged me to run for my as a class president. And wow. And so, you know, we had like 20, 30 kids. It's hard to remember at this point. Mm-hmm. But I remember giving a speech, and I remember there was voting, and I distinctly remember putting, you know, we did had a class vote, and I remember like putting my head down on my desk, and everyone would raise their hand and whatever. And she like tallied up the thing. And so she announced me that I had won class president. And I was like, so completely floored that this had happened to me, because it's not like, I wasn't like a popular kid. Not that I was like, not popular or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just, I would have never done it unless she had encouraged me to do that. And I really think that was one of the reasons why I started looking into more leadership things in, you know, in middle and high school. And even in my career, it was something that really propelled me, that someone believed in me, right? Mm-hmm. Someone believed that I could do it. I just have that really great memory. And I remember I graduated from, I went to a private school. It was a K-8, mm-hmm. school. And in, middle school, as I was about to graduate, you know, she was still there, she was just so supportive of me, you know, as graduating, going to high school. Wow. And saying, I always knew that you had it in you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, thank you, Mrs. Winchester, for believing in me. And, I'll always remember that.
Yes. That was a great question.
That was a great question. Arthur Aston, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great. Had a great time. Good conversation.
That chime means it's free time. And this week, I'm going to share a short interview I did with Jeff Adams, the Arkansas Director of Special Education. MCIE had the pleasure of providing an all-day professional learning experience for state technical service providers. And let me tell you, apart from being very passionate about inclusion, they are equally passionate about Razorbacks football. I'll make sure to drop a link in the show notes with the all-in toolkit. And I'll even throw in a link to a video of a hog call. It is really something to behold.
Jeff Adams, I'm the Director of Special Education within the Office of Special Education for Arkansas's Department of Education.
How would you describe All In?
So All In is our state's approach to ensuring that learners have access to meaningful educational experiences. And for our particular work, that heavily centers around students who have disabilities. So we are heavily focused on making sure that students get access to general education environments or least restrictive environments, but that initial consideration is always general education. All students are general education all the time. And that's really the essence of All In. But we have initiatives, strategies, professional learning opportunities that all feed into that one interstate highway. So we have multiple access ramps to the interstate. And so we have smaller initiatives feeding into that larger initiative, but the interstate really is the all-in initiative.
Mm-hmm. And you've developed an online resource for
people in the state. Is that right?
We have done that. We have a toolkit, an all-in toolkit, which has considerations for inclusive practices for various stakeholders within our system. That includes parents as experts within that system, administrators, general and special educators, related services, and really the information is not that different, but it's geared toward those various stakeholders, and the language within the toolkit is geared toward those specific audiences to make sure that the information is calibrated to making sure that they understand what this is all about.
And the end goal of All In, like, what are the outcomes that you're looking for?
Ultimately, we want to see the gap, the disparities that exist within our data, ELA, math, all subject areas. We want to see that gap narrow and eventually be eliminated. That sounds like a large task, but we believe it's possible. We want to see individual students, though, within their own trajectories have significant growth. So we want to see individual students meet growth expectations or actually exceed those expectations. And then really what we want are productive Arkansans who have meaningful post-secondary outcomes, but we realize that that occurs when they're in early childhood. We start making those decisions on behalf of students that affect their trajectories. And if we're going to have meaningful post-secondary outcomes, our system has to be aligned throughout early childhood, throughout K-12, into those post-secondary experiences.
And so if you were to describe what we did today, like what was today all about, and where are we?
So today you facilitated professional learning experience for our professional technical assistance arm of the Department of Education Office of Special Education. So these are experts in the field, and yet getting a group of experts to coalesce around a mission, to agree upon to a large extent what the mission is, that's what we worked on today, is really looking at what does inclusion mean for those of us who are investing in educator experiences and student experiences at the local level. Do we agree on that? Do we have a mutual understanding of what that is? We worked through teaming processes to get to those agreements and to process areas where we may lack agreement. And then we really worked through ideas of what are our structures revealing to us? Do our structures that we have in schools, does the master schedule, do the decisions we make in IEP team decision moments, are those reflective of what we then say we agree upon with inclusion and inclusive practices? And so we worked with people who are gurus, experts in the field, to have them think through our collective understanding as compared to just an individual understanding.
Okay, and then final question for you. Why is this work important to you, Jeff Adams?
For multiple reasons, but I would say because I have a single student in mind who impacted me early on in my career, who at the time I would have questioned what the outcome would be and why we should focus heavily to intervene. Some had given up on this student. She was very medically fragile. One could question if, you know, she had capable skills to communicate and to learn. And I think through this student, I realized how capable she was, how strong she was with being able to communicate even though she didn't speak, to express herself through learning opportunities, though the way she expressed herself was different than the majority of students. And to see her go from a place of complete isolation to a place of full participation in life, though it still looked different for her in comparison to many other citizens, she became a productive citizen with a job, a productive citizen of society. She was fully involved in life. And so seeing that one student and realizing that we have almost 70,000 students in Arkansas on IEPs, to presume competence and to expect that all students can learn at high levels, that's why it matters to me, is because I know that it happened for her, that one student. If it can happen for her, it can happen for all.
Thanks, Jeff.
For more information about inclusive education or to learn how you can partner with MCIE on school transformation or professional learning opportunities, visit mcie.org. Love Think Inclusive? Here are a few ways to let us know. Rate us on Spotify or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Become a patron like these fine people and get extra stuff. Thank you to Aaron P., Jarrett T., Joyner A., Kathy B., Mark C., Gabby M., and Kathleen T. We appreciate your continued support of Think Inclusive. Think Inclusive is written, edited, designed, mixed, and mastered by me, Tim Viegas. Original music by Miles Kredich. Additional music from Melody. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works.
And I loved how you said you're not an extrovert, because I am the quiet one in my group of friends. And they're just like, so you create a podcast and you
Oh, I know.
Like, and you have jobs where you like talk to people, like, wow.
Oh my gosh. Really funny. It's so true.
From MCIE.